Did you push it?
I think we're on. What's been happening at Bailey House? For news and interviews, don't go anywhere else. We're not a rabble, we don't gabble. We're number one for fun, we're the Bailey Babble. Come on, Angus, the Bailey Babble. Bailey Babble, Bailey Babble. Woo-hoo, Bailey Babble.
Are you put... Yeah, good.
Yeah, and that's right, folks. You are tuned into the Bailey Babble on Matt, your host with the most. Hair missing. And joining me today is co-host John Cox. Coxie, how are you?
Good, man.
Great to have you as part of the crew. I'm going to keep moving around the room because we got a busy one. We got a big one. I'm excited, Sam. Are you well today, Mr. Baker? Of
course I am.
Stupid question. Mr. McMillan, how are you travelling?
Oh, good, sir.
The footy started.
The footy started.
And the Hawks already got themselves 4 points.
4 points, yep.
And I'll tell you who else has got 4 points. Gerald, your team. Gerald?
Oh.
What are you... Gerald, we've got a special guest in the studio. No time for snoozing. You're not really tired, are you? This is going to be a terrible podcast. Gerald, I hope you perk up at some point. Hey, thanks for sticking with us, listeners. It's been a while between podcasts. Of course, COVID has turned things upside down. But we're on the other side of it, right, Sammy? We're looking forward, and things are looking good, right?
Yes.
And so now we've got a special guest in the studio, so it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the microphone, I'm going to say a relatively new staff member to Bailey House, Mr. Sean Spence. G'day, Sean. Welcome to Bailey Babble.
G'day, yeah. Thanks. Excited to be here today.
Sean, can I just kick things off by asking you, what's your title at Bailey House?
So, Director of Philanthropy and Fundraising. So, trying to bring in some money to support all our wonderful clients.
All right. Well, we're going to get you to elaborate on that a little bit later. But what I tell you what we're going to do, we're going to start with Mr. Cox. How have you been welcomed so far to Bailey, by the way?
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I feel very much part of the family already. So, yeah, no, I love it here.
Beautiful. All right, first of all, we want to get to know Sean Spence personally. John, you're going to get this show on the road.
Now, Sean, where do you grow up?
Well, where did you grow up, in fact?
It's a great question. So I was born and raised in a country town in New South Wales called Griffith. So it's about 6 hours from where we are today. And I was there till I was 15, and mum and dad are still there. So I get back there where I can and breathe in the country air.
Yeah, right. What sort of population would Griffith have?
We've got about 24,000. So yes, it's a fair size. And yeah, it's always good to get back when I can.
Were you living in town or actually out on a farm?
We were out of town in a little village, so we didn't have any sort of farm, but it was a nice, it's always a nice escape to sort of, yeah, it's pretty quiet out there, and lots of good wineries and lots of good food places. So yeah, anyone listening, I'd recommend a little, I might be a travel ambassador for Griffith in the future.
How many hours drive would that be from Melbourne?
It's about 6. I reckon you can get done in about 6 hours quite safely. So yeah, it's a bit of a trip, but you can fly there as well if you want to.
And what are your fondest memories of growing up as a kid in Griffith?
Just always being outdoors. So I was a real outdoors kid and, you know, get home from school, jump on the bike, push bike around if it wasn't having footy training or cricket training. And yeah, so I just remember so much time spending outdoors with mates, kicking a footy and playing a bit of cricket.
When you say kicking a footy, now hang on, are we talking, what sort of footy? Are we talking a Sharon or is it a Steedon?
A Steedon, well done. Yeah, no, I was born and raised on the game of rugby league, which I know is a bit foreign down here. But yeah, mum, dad played it a lot and I sort of joined from the age of 6. Always had a rugby league ball in my hand during the winter and a cricket bat during the summer. So yeah, loved it.
Now, Angus, they've had a lot of problems up in Queensland and New South Wales recently with the...
with the floods.
How did Griffith fare in the floods? Were they inundated with the rain?
No, Griffith was really lucky. We're a bit more west, so we didn't cop the floods, but actually got a really good downpour, which they needed. So I think it's the first time that Mum and Dad have felt humidity in about 20 years. It's normally pretty dry up there, but they actually got some good rain. And Dad's pretty proud of how the lawn looks now. It's pretty green for the first time in a while. So, no, that fortunately, they were okay. Yeah,
they dodged a bullet there. Mr. Chi, fire away, mate.
Where do you go to school?
Yeah, and were you a good school student, Sean?
I was a really, I suppose in the old terminology, say goody two shoes, mate. I did my best at school where I could, and always respected everyone. And I started off in Griffith. I was there till year 9, and then went up to Sydney. Went to a boarding school for my last 3 years of school. So, and that did wonders for me. The routine of boarding school has made me a very routine person now. But I actually enjoyed school for the time I was there. And looking back on it, I think some of the best years of your life, and you don't have too much to worry about during those times, hopefully.
So boarding school will be foreign to a lot of people listening. What, tell us about a boarding school. What's the difference between a boarding school and a typical school?
Yeah, so I you're pretty much, in plain terms, I lived at the school. So I would go to school, I'd wake up in the morning, and the house was on the school grounds, and you just have to walk across in the morning and have breakfast, and then you go straight to class from there, and then you walk back across the road, and you're at your house pretty much, and you're living with 30 other people in your own year group. So it's pretty much like living with your friends and in your schoolmates on property. So it was a great experience, and taught me a lot, which was great.
And still got some of those friends to this day, possibly.
Yeah, definitely. Probably the hardest thing about boarding school is that we all came from different country towns. So you sort of get to the end of school and everyone goes their separate ways again. But as soon as, someone has a good life moment or anything like that, the whole crew comes back together pretty quick too.
Get the band back together. And what about now? Where do you live now?
So I'm over in Glen Iris. So, it takes me about 25 minutes to get across here to Bailey House every morning. But it's a good... it's a good drive. I enjoy it. I get to listen to some music and some great podcasts like the Bailey Babble.
Hey, and so why should people visit Glen Iris?
It's a nice suburb. There's really nice people. I've only been there for about 5 months, but the people around there are very nice, and there's some really nice restaurants and bars there for people to explore. So, I definitely recommend it.
All right, well, we might sneak across. You like a bar, Angus?
I like the old bar, yeah.
You don't mind the odd cold one?
The old cold one, yeah.
Now, all right, so we're starting to get to know a bit about Sean, but you've got another probing question.
Who's in your family?
It's a great question. So growing up, I had Mum and Dad, and I've got a sister as well. She's in Sydney, and Mum and Dad are still in Griffith. And at the moment now, it's just myself and my very new to announce fiance, so that we haven't got any kids of our own yet, but time will tell. So
is this breaking news on Bailey Babble? You're getting married?
Breaking news on Bailey Babble. I think thank you. I think it's about 3 days old, so it's still getting used to the terminology fiance, but
Hang on, the relationship's not 3 days old, is it?
No, we're a bit more than that. I don't know, Angus, I don't know if I'd be engaged that quick. But
so who's the lucky lady, and how long have you been together?
Yeah, so Amelia, so we've been together for about 4 years now, and... after 4 years, I reckon made the big move just on the weekend. So exciting times, and I'm sure the next year will be a lot of fun.
I took two and a half times longer than you to get engaged.
Oh well, I was under a bit of pressure. So yeah, you last. You're a stronger man than me.
Oh, that's great, wonderful. And when can we expect invitations to the wedding?
I'm sure you'll be there. We've still got a bit of planning to do, but I'll certainly keep everyone updated.
Keep us in mind. We could do a live cross or something. Hey, Mr. Baker.
That's me.
That is you.
Who do you bargain for in the NFL?
Well, this is a controversial question.
Because you did say you grew up with rugby league, right?
I grew up with rugby league, but then when I went to university, I met a couple of guys, and they were mad Carlton Blues fans. So I jumped on their bandwagon, and every week we could turn up and talk about the Blues. So I'm a Blues fan. I can actually proudly say that because we're 1-1 at the moment. So I'll proudly announce that today.
And would you get along to the games or watch the games on TV? Are you that interested?
Yeah, when I can. Obviously, the last couple of years have been challenging for everyone. But yeah, if we got opportunity and it works out, yeah, I'd try and get along where I can.
And what about, I guess you've got a rugby team also?
Yeah, mate, I'm a West Tigers fan, which, we've had some lean years, but you've got to stick solid. And, so Tigers fan through and through.
Who's the equivalent of the West Tigers in the AFL?
Oh, it's probably the Bombers or someone like that, I suppose, that are generally sitting around 9th and 10th and show a bit of promise and you think they're going to do well and then they fade off. So, yeah, I think about the Bombers, maybe.
Well, that was Richmond for a lot of years and then they turned the corner, so there could be blue skies ahead. Jono, where's your question? You need your... There you go. Second question, mate.
Do you have any hobbies?
Any hobbies? Was it? Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, I do. I like to spend a lot of time. I like to run. I love running. It sounds like a strange hobby because it's not that fun sometimes, but I love to get out and about and just go for a nice long run. It just clears my head and I do a lot of thinking and feel great afterwards. So probably running and then checking out all those bars and restaurants that I mentioned earlier in Glen Iris. So, yeah, great question.
How long do you run for when you go for a run? Like, were we talking 15 minutes?
I try... 40 minutes is a good one, Angus. No, I try and get about an hour a day if I can, and then on the weekends try and pump it up to a couple of hours, just a nice long run of a Sunday morning generally to clear the head for the week ahead.
A two-hour run.
Yeah, where I can. Yeah, I'm one of those. I'm newish to running. During COVID, when there wasn't a whole lot to do, I took up running and ran the Melbourne Marathon last year, and I've got another one coming up in May down at Great Ocean Road. So, I've got to get in the training for that, or else I won't be able to finish it. So, yeah, generally trying. I do enjoy it as well, which helps. Yeah.
Yeah, great. What sort of time would you hope to finish that marathon in?
So I did Melbourne in about 3:23, so that'd be the target for Great Ocean Road, which would be a bit tougher. There's a few more hills than around Melbourne, so if I can aim for that 3.5 hour mark, I reckon I'll be pretty happy.
Yeah. Professionals do them in just over 2 hours typically?
Yeah, madness. Yeah, I think I was watching a documentary the other day where they were trying to get someone to break the 2 hours, which, yeah, I can't fathom how they do that, but it's, I'll stick to my 3.5 and be pretty happy, I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah, wow, okay. Yeah, you can have the running all to yourself, Sean. I mean, I like exercise, but two hours. Going for that's madness. 2 hours of running, Angus.
Yeah, get it.
Gerald, I think we're back to you, my friend.
With your second question.
Look at what is your favourite food.
Oh, yeah. You're pretty good on the tooth, Sean.
I am. I'm good on the tooth, but I'm a simple man at the same time. Like if I could live on bananas, I reckon that'd do me for the rest of my life. I love a banana. So that'd probably have to be my favourite food, I reckon.
Do you ever have banana? Have you ever had banana on toast? A layer of crunchy peanut butter, and then slice your banana. Do you like peanut butter?
I love peanut butter as well.
Sean, here you go. This is going to change your life. Okay, so you get your toast. You toast it to your liking. You put on your crunchy peanut butter. Then you slice your banana on top, and then you get your fork, and you mash it in, and then you savour it.
I tell you what, I'm going to go home and try that this afternoon. I'll be sending through a review. But it sounds right up my alley. Yeah, definitely.
It's delightful. What about takeaway food?
Oh, mate, if I had to do takeaway food, it would probably pizza, I reckon. We love a bit of pizza, especially on a Sunday night when we can't be sort of too enthused about cooking. We generally go to a local pizza shop and order an array of different things, yeah.
Oh, now I'm craving pizza, Angus. But you can't eat takeaway food all the time, Angus, can you?
No.
So with that in mind, what's your question?
Are you a good cook?
That would be fun. Well, I like to think I am. No, I think I think I go okay. Again, I'm pretty simple, but if there's a recipe there, I kind of recipes suit me because I am quite structured. So I think if there's a recipe there, I can go ahead and make something. So I reckon I go okay. It's probably not a question for me, though. Yeah, but...
So hang on now. So that's the first time Amelia visited your place. Did you cook? Have you? What was the first thing you cooked for her?
I did. I cooked up a nice paella. That's my go-to dish. I got a nice recipe there. So cooked up that. And then, hey, here we are over 4 years later. So maybe the proof's in the pudding.
Or the paella. Ooh. Oh, fantastic. All right. What do you like at cooking, John?
Yeah, good, mate.
What do you like to cook at home?
Cheese toaster.
Oh, yeah, cheese toasties. Geez, I've moved on from pizza. Now I'm thinking about cheese toasties. Hey, next one, mate. Next question.
What household job do you dislike?
Gerald, Sammy Baker, sorry. What job do you hate doing at home?
Gardening.
Gardening, yeah. It's got to be done. Sean, yourself?
Oh, the dishes. I don't mind drying, but washing the dishes, I reckon, is probably my most hated one. Yeah. So, I try it when I can avoid it, I can, and make a little deal with Amelia. Maybe she washes and I dry. But, yeah, probably washing the dishes, I think. Yeah.
Join the club. What have you got a dishwasher?
We do, but because there's only two of us, we're just on the brink. We don't use enough dishes to warrant a full load of a dishwasher. So we do it every time we eat. So, I'd definitely say dishwashing for me. Yeah.
Some things just don't go in the dishwasher, Angus.
Nothing.
Big pots and things. Yeah, what about you, mate? What do you dislike doing when it comes to household jobs?
Putting that in the rubbish.
Well, and once again, though, it's got to be done. Hey, we're moving on. Well, Sammy's got a different question relating to a different topic.
What music do you like?
Well, I'm pretty old school. I'm more of like an 80s, before my time a little bit, but I like a bit of 80s, bit of everything from the 80s, bit of rock, bit of pop from back then. So, yeah, I'm not too strict. I listen to country, I listen to a lot of different things, but if I had to pick one, I'd say a bit of 80s, I reckon.
When do you listen to your music? Are you listening on that drive from Glen Iris? Is that typically when you hear the music, or do you pop it on at home?
Yeah, definitely. Probably when we're when I'm driving over here every morning or trying to wind down after work. Probably in the cars. Probably the main spot we listen. Yeah.
What's your favourite band from the 80s, Sammy?
Aha. Which
one? Aha. Yeah. What, mate? No. The question is, who's your favourite band from the 80s? Aha.
Yeah, aha, it's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Take on...
Take on me.
I remember that one. Oh, yeah, beautiful. Right. And it's right up Sammy's alley, actually, the 80s stuff, isn't it, Sam? Mr. McMillan, we're back to you, my friend.
Are you afraid of flying?
Incorrect. I can see what you've done there, but this is not something to fear. This is something a lot of people love doing.
Going on holidays.
Because you've got a picture of an aeroplane there and it's thrown you. Yeah. Are you a traveller, Sean?
Not as much as I'd like. I think everyone probably would say the same thing the last couple of years. But no, when I do travel, I tend to stick pretty local. We love nothing more than jumping in the car and heading off to the Yarra Valley for a weekend or Mornington Peninsula. So, it'd be great to explore a little bit. But I haven't been to many places overseas at all, actually. I've been to, and every time I go, it's for work generally in the past. So, yeah, keen to hopefully explore a bit more in the future. But yeah, I love a holiday. I won't lie, definitely.
Where would be somewhere on your wish list to go on? An overseas destination?
Yeah, probably. I've always been really fascinated by like Scotland and Ireland. Heading over there and just a really good combination of great history, nature, and obviously some good food and drink over there as well. And the people, they look like a heap of fun. So I reckon that'd be a nice trip for the future.
You need an interpreter, though, if you're going to Scotland.
I think so, yeah. I might need some help, yeah.
Wonderful. And Gerald, of course. Gerald's done a lot of travel. Sean, Gerald, have you been to Ireland or Scotland, mate? No. Have you got any trips coming up overseas? Because the borders are open now, Gerald, you realise?
At the end of the... this year, I'm flying back to To look at Malaysia for a holiday.
Wonderful. Back to see Dad. Awesome. Gerald, what else is it? I'll tell you something else that's awesome, and that's your third question.
What the movies you like?
Oh, yeah. Now, what movies have you got there on your picture, Gerald? I think that's is that Dirty Dancing? See that. Well, there's a big. That's Patrick Swayze giving her a big smooch. And this middle picture, of course, Bond. That's more of an action movie. That's
Like a 007?
007. And this guy down the bottom, that's that's a comedy, isn't it? That's Mr.
Like a Johnny English.
Is it Johnny English or Mr. Bean?
Like a Mr. Bean.
I think it's Mr. Bean. Yeah, and movies, Sean, what do you go for?
I'm generally a bit of drama or thriller, I think.
You can handle the truth!
Very good, very good.
Sorry, Sam, I didn't mean to startle you. I just turned myself into Jack Nicholson there momentarily.
Yeah, no, a great movie. One that sticks with me all the time is, if it's ever on TV, I can never turn Good Will Hunting off. One of my favourites of all time. And then I love a sporting movie too. There's nothing better than a true story sporting movie created, I think. It's get you pumped up I do like a true story as well, based on a true story, yeah.
What's your all-time favourite sporting movie you could recommend? Or doco even?
Probably Remember the Titans, I think, from a movie point of view. And from a doco point of view, The Last Dance, Michael Jordan. I've watched it a few times. It only came out last year, but I've watched it a few times. I thought, yeah, brilliant documentary, yeah.
Even though Big Luke was overlooked.
Yeah, I end up watching Big Luke's on Australian Story, and it's good to see him get his say as well. But a bit of controversy there. But yeah, I think it was well done. Yeah.
Sammy, we're going to move on from movies to the small screen.
What TV shows do you watch?
And of course, Sean might know, but your favourite TV show is
Neighbours and Home and Away.
That's a good one, yeah. Well, I can see from here on your little sheet there, Sam, I can see MasterChef, and that's probably one of my favourites whenever that's on. It's a really good one because I know it's on every night, and I can just, you don't have to think too much about what you're going to watch, that's going to be on. So I've tried to replace it with Maths at the moment, but that's not going too well.
It's Married at First Sight, right?
Married at First Sight, yeah. So I don't, no replacement for MasterChef there. That probably would be MasterChef when we get the chance, yeah.
Are you a MasterChef fan, Jono? You watch MasterChef?
I watch MasterChef.
Yeah. All right. Your fourth question, by the way. All right. Sorry, fellas. Jono's just trying to focus here.
Do you have any pets?
What about you? Are you a pet owner, John?
No.
Any pets in your family? Your sister got a pet?
No.
Great question, and as of probably a year ago, I would have said no, but about 8 months ago, we adopted a little dog, a little Maltese dog, so a little white fluffy one, and she's 13 years old, so we've adopted an older dog, and just trying to give her a good life, and she's going really strong, and she loves nothing more than to sort of cuddle up to us and sleep, really, so she's pretty easy to look after as well, and her name's Bella.
And her name was always Bella, I imagine?
Yeah, so as far as we know, we don't know much about her history. We adopted her from the pound, and they found her on the street. So she looks like she might have had a bit of a rough time of late, but she's certainly living the high life now, I'd say. She's pretty well looked after, yeah.
She's pretty comfortable. Beautiful, that's the feedback we want from pet owners. Gerald, you're up again, mate, as we whiz through these questions. And we really thank Sean for his time. Here we go.
Look at any fears.
Are you scared of anything yourself, Bond?
You.
Yeah, and so you should be. Why would you be scared of me? What the hell? What? I'm a peaceful guy. Why would you? I'm a loving. Why would you be scared? Are you scared of the way I look? You want to try waking up like this? Seeing yourself in the mirror first thing in the morning. What about yourself, Sean? Scared of anything? Maybe spiders, heights, the dark?
Mine's probably a bit of a different one. And people laugh when I say this, but the first thing that always comes to my mind is magpies. And it's, I cannot stand being swooped. I talked about my long runs earlier, and if I see a magpie, I tense up and I run as fast as I can to get past it. I just feel, maybe it's the feeling of you can't do anything about it when they're coming up behind you or the look in their eyes. There's something about magpies that scares me a lot, actually, yeah.
And you'll get great comfort from knowing that apparently they go for your eyes.
I reckon they target me. I can see three people walk past the magpie and it wants nothing to do with them, and the moment I go past, it gets angry. So it must be something I do, or the way I look or something.
Collingwood.
Well, a lot of people are scared of the Collingwood magpies as well, Sammy.
Look at that. My brother, before Collingwood, my younger brother.
Oh, that's Ben.
Yes, and my mum, before Collingwood as well. Oh,
she was a magpie supporter too, yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of us are fearful of them as well. Collingwood Magpies and the Collingwood Magpies supporters. Hey, Sean, what would be your most prized personal possession at home? You know, if the house suddenly, unfortunately, caught fire and you had moments to get out and you only had time to grab one thing, you know, and we're not talking about Amelia here or your dog, what would you grab? What's really important to you? What would you grab, Angus?
I'd grab the cat.
All right. Well, let's say the cat's made it outside safely. What from your bedroom would you grab?
Oh, gee. My TV?
No. Yeah, no, fair enough. Yep.
Yeah, probably for me, it'd be... we might get into this in a little bit, but I've got a of all things, it sounds a bit odd, but I've got a blackboard next to my bed, and it says on it, find the reason. And for me, that's something that got me through a lot of tough times, and I sort of wrote find the reason on there, and I literally haven't rubbed it off for, it must be nearly 10 years, or a bit less than 10 years, maybe 8 years now. So it's something that every morning I see, and it gets me out of bed and makes me bounce out of bed. So for me, it's probably that just got a lot of sentimental value. It's worth absolutely nothing, but it's, sentimentally, it's a bit there, yeah.
And when you read it this morning, was the answer Bailey Babble?
The Babble. I couldn't wait. Yeah, definitely. It was get up and get to speak to this amazing group of people. So yeah, that was great.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, we want to hear more about that and the reason why you've got find the reason beside your bed. But we'll get there because Sammy's got another question. Firstly,
what other jobs have you had?
Yeah, because you haven't always worked at Bailey House, right, Sean?
No, I haven't. So I've got a bit of a different background. I was very lucky to play professional sport for a while in that other code that I mentioned earlier, rugby league. So I played professional rugby league for a while. Retired from that quite young through injury, and then went into working in sport. So I worked for the West Tigers Rugby League Club, and then I came down to Melbourne, drove my car down to Melbourne packed full of all my possessions because I got the opportunity to work for probably, we'll say, the second best AFL club in the comp.
Geelong? they're the first. What a stupid thing for me to say.
No, Angus's team, the Hawks. I can see his keychain there, the mighty Hawks. So, and Sammy as well. Yeah, we've got a few Hawks here. So,
and Jono.
Oh, John as well. Wow, I'm full of Hawks here. So, I worked at Hawthorn Footy Club there for a couple of years. And that was a great time. I really enjoyed that. And then before Bailey House, I was at another charity called Beyond Blue. So I was there for about 18 months, and which was fascinating. I was there through COVID and to see the impact that Beyond Blue made on the community during that time, and just how much the community needed organisations like Beyond Blue was quite amazing to see. So, and then now, obviously, I'm across at Bailey House, and yeah, really enjoying it after 5 months. I said to someone the other day, I think after 5 months, you get a sense of the organisation and the people and whether you truly enjoy it. And I wake up every day really enthused about what I do and the people I get to meet, including everyone here. So, yeah.
Wonderful. So what was your role at the Hawks?
So I was a foundation manager. So we used to raise a lot of money for the Hawks community programs, and also we were building a new facility out at Dingley. So we're running what we call a capital campaign. So we're trying to, you know, raise, it was millions of dollars for this new training facility, but also it was going to be a community facility where we run a lot of programs as well. So it was really along the same lines as what I'm doing here, just for a sporting club. And it was really fascinating, the people you meet and how AFL can just doesn't matter who you are, what job you've got, how rich or poor you are, you can sort of all come together towards a club. So it was great.
And so all AFL clubs are doing good things in the community, are they?
Yeah, definitely. And it's probably something that the mainstream media probably doesn't report on enough, I think. But certainly a lot of clubs are out there. I always say the power of sport is massive, you know. They've got these huge platforms and publicity to be able to really do good things. And most clubs, I think all clubs are trying where they can to do that. So, yeah, it's great to see that continual growth there. I think it's only going to get bigger and bigger.
So for the Hawks fans listening, and for Sam and Angus, are you saying that Hawthorn will be moving from Waverley at some point in the future?
Yeah, certainly. That's the plan. They'll have a brand new facility out there at Dingley, which will be state of the art. Yeah, definitely. It'll be amazing. And there'll be a lot of community space out there too. And I know the club's looking forward to getting out there where they can. And Waverley's got a lot of history, but they've just sort of outgrown it. And this new... the new training facility, from the plans that I saw when I was then, was quite amazing. So yeah, watch that space definitely, and hopefully that can transform into on field success for them as well. They were really successful till I got there, and then they went downhill. So I don't know if that was my fault or, but yeah, that, they're certainly a club that they won't be down for long. They'll be back up.
There's a big motivation there. Is it a big growth area? They just want more members. Is that a lot of the fair bit of the thinking?
The main thing's more space for them. They've only got the one sort of oval where they are now, and the gym space, and the footy's just grown leaps and bounds in terms of staff and player requirements and those type of things. And a facility like Waverley just doesn't have the space to grow. It's landlocked now with houses. So the ability just to be able to provide the best environment for players and staff, I think, is probably giving them the best chance of on-field success. And then also, they are a really great community club. So they'll run a lot of community programs out of there. AFLW's come on as well now, so that they should have a club there. So So they'll need new sort of facilities and change rooms for that. So more of a space thing more than anything, yeah.
So are you trying to tell us, Sean, that the Hawks are going to be a powerhouse again before long?
I do, and I really think, you know, and I know...
God.
I know we do tipping in the AFLW here, but they've got an amazing women's program. I wouldn't be surprised that when they do finally enter the comp, that I'd be watching the Hawks in the AFLW, I think, yeah.
All right. Well, and we've just started the AFL tipping as well. Okay, of course. Congratulations to Conman, if you're listening. Conman took out our AFLW tipping competition. Conman's got some beers coming his way, and they did just arrive back from fishing. We just saw them sneak past. Sean, tell us about your... That's certainly a different career. Most people don't get to play sport at the highest level. Tell us about your rugby journey. So you played... Obviously, you were quite a talented junior.
Yeah, I playing up in the country, I made some rep teams and through schoolboys, and got recruited when I was 15. And that club, the West Tigers, they opted to put me up in boarding school up in Sydney. So I made the move when I was 15 to go up there and focus on footy. But mum and dad were always very big on, you know, go play your footy, but make sure you're studying and you're not dropping off school. So went through their system, which in rugby league, the main sort of age group is under 20s. So I captained the under 20s team there. And then at the age of 21, got to debut. And for all the, I know there's some cricket fans in the room, I actually debuted at the Sydney Cricket Ground, which is quite rare. They don't play much footy there, rugby league there. But you know, to sit in the change rooms there and look around at all the amazing athletes and cricketers that have been in that room, I was sort of, you know, just amazed. And then people talk about an out-of-body experience. I didn't know what they meant until that. And it sort of felt like I was watching myself on TV, and had to sort of bring myself back to now live in the moment and be out there. So... played, debuted 21. The next week
So that was at senior level?
Yep. Yeah, debuted in the NRL at senior level, so...
And was that the team you actually followed as a kid?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so I was really lucky. Dad was a, for those that don't know rugby league, the West Tigers is a joint venture between the Balmain Tigers and the Western Suburbs Magpies, and Dad was an avid Balmain fan, so I grew up a Tiger, and then to play for the club that you support as a kid was a dream come true. And even some of the players I was playing with, because I was only 21, were players that I'd lined up to get autographs from and that type of thing. So it was an amazing experience. I scored a try in my second game, which, you know, is like kicking a goal in AFL, I suppose. It was amazing. And then, unfortunately, seven games later, I sort of played my ninth game, and I'd signed a good contract to go out and play for another club, the Penrith Panthers, and had a really great preseason with Penrith. It was a 2-year deal, and I was, you know, probably in the best space that I'd been at for a long time, and was looking to shore up my future. And in the first game I ever played for them, I got a concussion, missed a couple of weeks, come back, and got a few more concussions. And I did have a history of concussion at the Tigers, but it was, probably not taken... the guidelines, and I could always just come back and pass the tests I needed to. But as it was getting more strict, and every time I got a concussion, it was getting worse and worse. That the last one I got, it was pretty clear that there was something amiss, and I just didn't recover from it. So I went through a range of tests with doctors, and initially thought I could just have a year off and come back. But unfortunately, went back for more tests after a year, and it had improved, but not to the level that doctors were confident that I could come back and play again. So yeah, debuted at 21 and retired at 22. So not an illustrious career, but one that I look back on now and really grateful for, to be honest. If someone had said I'd play 9 NRL games when I was a 6-year-old, I would have laughed at them said, "What can I, give me that, please." And so I can't look back on it with any regret. It's I look back at it as really proud.
So for people that have never been concussed, what is that experience like? The actual, when you're in the moment, can you explain that when you're actually concussed, or is it just a blackout?
Yeah, it's varying levels. I think I think a lot of the time you get the small ones, and they're probably the most dangerous ones, because you sort of can push through a little bit and sort of regather yourself and sort of act like you're okay. And that was me a lot of the time. And then there's other ones where you are completely out of it. And I remember one particularly when I was completely out of it, and I only remember bits and pieces of the day, but, bits of conversation with the doctor, and to this day, you sort of don't regain that memory. But it's almost like a big cloudy, hazy sort of feeling, and combined with spinning. And a lot of the time, I'd fall flat on my face just from the spinning that your brain sort of copped and that kind of thing. So it's not a nice feeling, and certainly one that I don't miss. But it certainly varies from different sort of levels.
And that can last a matter of days, right?
Yeah, well, my last one essentially lasted weeks and months. It was, I think it's a topic that's being talked about more and more in sport now, and a really serious one. So it can vary from, you regain yourself in seconds to minutes to hours to days and months. And unfortunately for some people, the damage can become irreparable. So I'm glad I didn't get to that stage.
So what do you think when you read about Paddy McCartan, Sammy? He's just returned. He played for the Saints. He's just gone to Sydney to play with his brother. He's had multiple concussions, couldn't get back on the field for the Saints. We've got the cricketer Will Pukowski, multiple concussions. And yesterday we had Daniel Venables, a West Coast Eagles player, retire. And I heard him say that after he got concussed, and it was just one big incident. We heard him on the radio yesterday. And he got concussed in May 2019. He rang his dad in the middle of the night and said, in a panic, and said, "Dad, I feel like my brain is going to explode." Yeah. Have you got similar sort of stories, experiences?
Yeah, I can certainly relate. And I actually was listening to Daniel on the radio yesterday, and one thing I didn't notice was, how your heart rate was related to what's happening in your brain. So there was times there, the doctors, I'd wear a heart rate monitor no matter what I was doing, and I wasn't allowed to get that above 100. And the minute I went about 100, I'd get these shocking headaches. And then so I was on a program, and if I got through 3 months at 100 beats per minute and I felt okay, I could then go up to 105. And it was that incremental, because I just had no idea. Obviously, your body's linked so much, but I can definitely relate to things like that. And even stories about, people like Will Bukowski and people are questioning, how to get knocked out in a warm-up with a volleyball or a soccer ball, whatever it was. But every time I got concussed, it's almost like a multiplier effect that the next time it was easier to get concussed. My last concussion, there was no direct head contact. It was actually the whiplash and my brain responding to the whiplash that made me concussed. So,
was that what's whiplash, Angus?
Yeah, so it's when your head goes back really quickly, like that kind of stuff, and you sort of... Yeah, and the pressure in your brain and your brain shifts a little bit. So, yeah, I certainly when I hear stories like that, I can certainly sort of relate. But what I always say is concussions are very individual response as well. You know, like it's not like a hamstring where it takes 6 weeks to recover in your back. It's, you know, it really needs to be treated individually. So, yeah, it's a tough one to manage as well for those people. But, yeah, it's good to see someone like Paddy come back and be able to play. Yeah.
What about, I wonder, Angus, if Sean's got any ill effects to this day? Because you're back, we're doing a lot of running.
Yeah, no, I'm back doing most things. So sometimes if I forget a few things, I might use as an excuse. But most of the time, I'm pretty good. It's I've learned to manage it over a long time, make a lot of notes. Because sometimes the memory isn't as great as what I'd like, but then sometimes the memory's great. So
yeah, it's gone, it's better.
Yeah, exactly. It comes and goes a lot. So, and I can sort of tell when a bad day is coming. The way I sort of look at it is I used to have 9 bad days out of 10 where I'd wake up with headaches and whatnot, and now, you know, those days are few and far between, and I can sort of recognise when they're going to come. So overall, I'm very, very lucky that I'm mostly good. Yeah.
Now, Angus. Go on. Let's get to your fourth question.
How much money did you get paid?
Well, what is it? Well, actually, that's a bit... You're cutting to the chase. It says, did playing rugby league make you...
Make you rich.
I'm going to say it mightn't have after 9 games.
Nah, certainly not. And even when I was on those 9 games, I was on a very much... I was 21 and I wasn't a superstar, so I was very much on a baseline contract, and one that, you know, I was even getting... So I had a baseline, and then for every game I played, I got an extra little bonus. There was one game that I went out there for 22 seconds, got knocked out and couldn't play the rest of the game, and I still got my match payment. So it was the most I've been paid for 22 seconds in my life. So, yeah, that was... it certainly didn't make me rich, and it certainly made me happy, though. So, yeah.
Hey, so if we rewind, when you're first there and you're in the rooms... SCG, and you're just making your way, it's one of the biggest things to overcome, accepting that you belong when you've got your heroes beside you and against you?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think anything... I always say to any young player coming through now that I think the biggest barrier to success is self-doubt. I think, you know, you sit there and you question whether you're good enough, you question whether you belong in this group, and it does cripple you. It uses so much of your energy, but it also means that you might not go out there and do what's actually gotten you to that point. You know, you might not throw the pass or take that kick that you've been selected to do that. So actually having that confidence is actually the most difficult thing, I think, because you are ready and other people have told you you're ready. You've just got to believe it yourself, yeah.
Have some self-belief, as you say. Gerald, Sean talked about getting married. It's coming soon, within a few years perhaps. And a lot of people, Gerald, when they get married... When they get married, they like to start their own, I'll give you a hint.
You cannot.
Well, they have children, right? Sometimes. They have children. You agree with this?
They got like you.
I've got a couple of kids. And, you know, often children play sports. Sean, if you opt to have children one day, would you want to see your children playing these physical sports?
Yeah, I actually had this conversation yesterday with someone, and I was saying that... I would just like my kids to play whatever they want to play and whatever their mates are playing. So if that was rugby league, I would have absolutely no drama whatsoever with that. With my kids playing rugby league, and you know, I always look back on what happened to me, and I think I gained a lot more than. Again, I'm very, very fortunate. I finished when I did before it got too serious. But the lessons, I wouldn't be who I am today without rugby league or without sport. So I'd love my kids to sort of yeah, take those same lessons and hopefully just not as many knocks. Yeah.
So tell us about this blackboard beside your bed. Why did you need that blackboard? How did it impact you suddenly having your dream ripped from under you?
Yeah, well, for me, you know, obviously I sort of sacrificed a lot to get to that point, and when you're told you can't do it again, that was the most devastating thing in my life. And I remember sitting there and, you know, needing some sort of motivation just to get out of bed a lot of the time, and I sought professional help at the time, which, you know, I'm pretty proud of, and I believe it helped me a lot get back where I needed to get to. And I just remember one day going in there and she sort of questioned me. The counsellor said to me, what are you actually worried about?
Sorry, Sean, so are we talking, was this some on the depression spectrum?
Yeah, certainly. The time the doctor told me that the part of my brain that was damaged could bring on anxiety and depression. I said to the doctor at the time, I said, oh, you've just told me I can't play sport again. That's probably going to be just as impactful. That's what's causing it. So, I met with a counsellor a number of times, and after a few months, she said to me, like, just level with me, what's actually, you know, what are you worried about? What are you most nervous about? And for me, it was, taking inside the rooms now, you know, 2 minutes before an NRL game, there's this deafening bell that goes off and it tells you that, righto, you've got 2 minutes until you go out there in front of a crowd. And it's this combination of nerves, excitement, and you sort of flash back to all the sacrifices you made. You look your mate in the eye and there's nothing you can do in that 2 minutes, but it's like your whole world comes together. And I said, I'm never going to feel that again. And she looked at me and I thought, I'll give her sympathy. But she looked at me and she said, do you think that's arrogant? And I said, wow, what do you mean arrogant? And she said, are you telling me that no one else in the world except for you and your footy mates get to experience that? You're telling me that I don't experience that? The doctors don't, your parents have never, like your family have never, like how arrogant's that? And it was at that moment that I realized that I need to go, you know, stop sort of self-moaning and self-complaining and actually go and find something that was going to give me that feeling again. And so for me, a lot of the time at that, you know, around that time, people were saying to me, everything happens for a reason. I'm sure we've all heard it. Everything happens for a reason. And instead of sitting there and waiting for the reason, I went to Kmart and bought a blackboard, and on it I wrote three words, and that was find the reason. And for me, that was just enough to, you know, realize that, you know, no one was going to gift me anything that was going to change how I felt. It was about me going out there and starting a new life almost, and you know, making the most of what I did, which was plenty, and realizing how much I had to be grateful for, and actually just going out there and finding something that is going to give me that same feeling. And you know, I'm very proud to say that, you know, the work I do now, I do get that feeling. It's that feeling of, you know, helping people, and that feeling of, you know, in my role, it's, you know, often talking about, you know, how people can support us financially or non-financially. And I get that same feeling before I walk into one of those big meetings and ask for money. It's that nerves, excitement, knowing that we could do a lot of great stuff and trying to work and put your best foot forward in that. So, yeah, I'm really proud that, you know, we've found it and we're moving forward.
Hopefully some of that rubs off on them, knowing that they're making a difference. Correct. Gerald, I did that once. I had a blackboard next to my bed and I wrote find the reason on it, but I'd misspelled it and I spent about 3 months looking for a bloody raisin. Hey, Gerald, it's comedy gold. Would you give me something? Hey, how about your fifth question for Sean?
Like, when do you start at Bailey House?
Yeah, was it this year, Sean, last year?
Yeah, October 2021. Yeah, so it's been about 5 months now. It's obviously been a tricky time with COVID and everything, but no, it's been good.
And Director of Philanthropy, right? Tell us about what does that entail exactly?
Yeah, so predominantly trying to raise funds for Bailey House and our clients. So to fund things like our different programs, our facilities, our equipment, different initiatives and programs. So a lot of it's working with, you know, identifying individuals and families and businesses that might be able to support us financially and also non-financially in terms of different bits of equipment as well.
And you're making inroads, you think, so far so good?
Yeah, so far so good. We had I've realised straight away that Bailey House has a very loyal bunch of supporters, and we're very grateful for that. And now it's just about growing on top of the great foundation that's already there.
How do you do that? How do you go about growing?
The thing for us is that, you know, Bailey House has built trust and has built such a great reputation for 70 years. So my role is just about getting out there and telling our story, and not being afraid of asking and getting out there and just sharing the great work that people like yourself, Matt, and all of our staff do for these wonderful clients. And once you tell that story, if people still don't feel the need to support us, then I'm speaking to the wrong people. So yeah, I think our story speaks for itself. It's just about actually getting out there and building awareness of it.
Yeah, visibility and awareness. So what are you enjoying about working at Bailey House so far?
Well, I had a great game of cricket a couple of weeks ago with these guys, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And I think, Joe, were you there, Joe? I think you might have missed it that one. But I saw saw some great batting from Angus and the guys. So, yeah. I'm really enjoying that connection with the clients. And just knowing that, you know, every dollar we are raising is making a really meaningful impact. And it's just a place full of great people that are always putting our clients' views first. And that, for me, is the most important thing. So, yeah, really enjoying that.
Wonderful. You know, we played cricket yesterday on the Oval, Sean. Sam Baker was batting. I put myself at first slip. Sammy got an edge. I dived to my right. I took what I thought was a pretty handy catch. I threw it up in the air in celebration and ran off pumping my fist. And as the ball landed next to my foot, Sam Baker said, "You dropped it, not out." But I threw it up. I didn't.
Well, you dropped it.
And then Sam, I had to, you know, there was no.
Angus, that one, you dropped it.
There's no third umpire. And of course, Sammy went on and batted for about another half an hour. We're going to sneak across to you, Jono, with your last question.
What do you worry about?
That's a really good question. What do I worry about? It's for me, it's just about, you know, making the most of everything I've got and making sure I'm, you know, continuing to succeed here at Bailey House and for our clients. You know, I like to give everything to what I do, and I often, you know, think about and worry about how we can make the biggest impact and how we can continue to grow this space. So for me, it's, yeah, very much centered around the work I'm doing now. And but I try my best not to worry too much either. You know, I think I got, you know, you can fear failure or you can look forward to success, and I certainly like to look forward. And really good question, John.
You know what I worry about, John? I worry about if I'm ever going to grow another bloody hair on my head. I will grow another hair on my head, won't I, John? One day. And he's shaking his head. Thanks a lot, John. Hey, what about in the community? What do you wish people would stop doing, Sean?
I think, you know, it's very hard because everyone's got different circumstances, but I'd love to, you know, rather than stop doing it, I'd love people to sort of take the time to appreciate what we do have. I think the first thing we can always do is complain and to think about what we don't have. And I'm a really big believer in gratitude and just trying to switch that negative mindset to a positive one and really thinking about, even on our toughest days, it's, you know, not focusing on that. It's actually focusing on what we are lucky for. And I think we all hopefully can find different things in our life that we're pretty grateful for. So yeah, certainly I don't know if that's stop doing something, but start doing something. I'd say, yeah, trying to be a bit more grateful for everything we've got. Yeah.
Focus on the positive perhaps. Yeah. And finally, now I'm going to ask Angus this one. I want you to finish this little phrase for me. I always
have a shower.
Excellent. Important too. What about you, Sean? If I was to run it by you, I always... What? You finish that for me, please.
Have breakfast. I cannot leave the house without having breakfast. Even if, you know, sometimes on Sundays when I go for my run, I'll meet my partner and she'll run for a little bit with me and we'll finish at brunch. But I can't just go straight for my run. Always need to have breakfast. It's either mentally or physically, but I need to have breakfast every day. Yeah.
You know, Tom has breakfast. Colleague Tom doesn't really eat during the day, but he does have breakfast.
Yeah, right. I can't. Even if it's just a banana, I'll come back to bananas to finish it off. But even if it's just banana, I'm a massive Weet-Bix fan. I'm a very simple man, but at least I have to get something in the stomach. Yeah.
I used to see those ads on TV, Sam, those TV ads. I think Gary Ablett Jr. used to say on the Weet-Bix ad he had 15 Weet-Bix for breakfast. Do you believe
not
that?
Too much.
I agree. What's the most Weet-Bix you've ever eaten, Sean?
When I was playing, I had to eat a lot. So I think I got up to 12 at one stage. I used to watch those same ads and think, oh, if they're doing it, I better do it as well. So I think I got to 12, but I've certainly cut down now.
The ads worked.
It did, yeah. Exactly. Great marketing, yeah. And I'm, all these years later, I'm still eating them. So they've done something well, yeah.
Yeah, great. Hey, Sean, look, the boys are getting restless. We've pushed on for nearly 55 minutes. So we thank you for being so generous with your time and being so honest. And it was really interesting, you know. Not all of us have obviously played sport at the highest level and experienced what you've experienced with your health. So, yeah, really thank you for sharing. And after 5 months, welcome to Bailey House.
No, thank you so much. And thanks yourself and all, you know, Sam, Angus, John, Gerald, for the great questions and everyone at Bailey House just making me so feel so welcome. And, yeah, look forward to continuing to work hard and meeting more of you great people.
Beautiful, and thanks to our loyal listeners, Gerald.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank them for dabbling in all of our babbling. Until next time.
Look at, take care. Look at, see ya.